kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Why don't you tell me a little more about this contest coming up, and then we can switch gears to whatever.
Yeah, we could actually do that in the episode.
Yeah, we could tell you on the episode. That way the people listening to the episode can also hear.
Oh, sure.
We'll do that.
Kill two birds with one stone.
I'm all about killing stones with birds. I mean, what?
Just chucking a parrot at a stone. Yeah. Fuck you, stone. John Stone killing Ale Sean with a bird. Where's Adam Rippon? He has a parrot. Chuck the parrot at Ale Sean.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh, my Lord. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast, episode number 204. I am joined, as usual, by by Chris Huber. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I fixed my car today.
Nice. And how does it feel knowing you are not the only Chris on the show today?
Confusing, but I'll get used to it.
Nice, because joining us this episode, Christopher Maze Dude Getman. Maze Dude, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It was a crazy day, but I nailed it, so.
What was crazy about it? What was crazy in your day today?
Oh, hang on. I tried to go on Twitch, and I got an ad in my ears. Oh, wait, ad?
Ads?
What's it for? Things. What are we shilling?
Stranger Things, a Netflix original that I don't want in my face right now.
Don't even know what it is.
Fuck Netflix. Where's our chunk of that change?
That goes to Twitch. Until we're partnered. I'm pretty sure that's how that works. I don't know.
Maybe one day. Our 51 subscribers don't care enough.
We'll get there. Time will tell.
Working on it. But yeah, what happened in your day today, Maze Dude, that is strange and crazy?
Oh, I do websites for EarQ, and it's like hearing healthcare stuff, which is, you know, it's not a bad gig. If I do my job well, I help people hear better, and then if they hear better, they can hear my music. So there you go. Now, we're adding an e-commerce piece to our site, and it's just been like months of building and building and building, and we launch hopefully tomorrow. So today was Debug City, which just sucks.
That's like the worst city ever.
Yeah, but the funny thing was this giant project has been coming together at the exact same time as my album coming together, so it's like multiple launches all overlapping, which is just fun but ridiculous.
What about this album? Why don't you tell us about it?
What an interesting segue. That was not my intention at all.
An album, you say, with music? Are you a musician?
Indeed, yeah. So you've probably seen the buzz on social and whatever, but American Pixels. It's been a labor of love for 5 years now. And it was ridiculous, actually, as I'm starting to plug it. I'm going back to my first emails that I shot people out about it, well, like when I first started it, and they're back from like 2011, and I'm ashamed that it's taken so long. But regardless, it is the sequel to the American album, which came out in 05, 06, somewhere around there. And it's just 10 years later, you know, wanted to do it again. And there are requests from composers that came in at the end of the first one that I didn't get to. There were new composers I want to honor. And this thing has really grown beyond me in a weird way, because it's like, you know, the first one is I write the music, it's electronic, I release it. This one is I'm writing the music, I'm bringing on guest performers, I am tackling really bizarre, obscure requests from the composers themselves. And nice. Like some that were just just like, really, you want that one? No one knows that song, but okay, hey, you're the composer, I'll do it. Yeah, so it's you know, multiple tracks, multiple guest performers. I'm fusing live instruments, playing ridiculous solos over electronics, which is a nightmare to mix and master, but kind of a fun challenge. And honoring the games and the Americans all at the same time. So it's just a lot of stuff.
So what, if people aren't familiar with the first one, what was thematically, what made you do the first one?
I'll tell you the story, actually. I was doing a lot of Doom 2 mixes at the time because they were very popular and they kind of meshed with my style. So I was talking to Mustin one day and I was like, dude, what if I do like, you know, an EP or an album that's kind of like Maze Dude versus Robert Prince, you know, like all the Doom 2 stuff. And it was actually his idea, like, okay, well, how about instead of that, you add other composers to the list? So it'll be kind of, you know, Robert Prince, the American composer, and then you also get Jeremy Sewell on there. You also get the Fat Man on there. And I was like, oh, you mean like an American album? And that's how it started, because it was just every tribute album at the time was like, you know, Mega Man, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy, Japanese.
Are you telling me that there's Final Fantasy tribute albums?
I heard that there are. I don't know if they're any good.
I don't believe you.
I think I'm on a couple, actually.
I heard there was a really good Earthbound one, too.
Yeah, that's
I'm on that one.
Yeah. I'm on that one a few times. There's actually another Earthbound one coming out from the Bad Dudes, actually, pretty soon, which will be...
Yeah, I hear, which I am excited sweet. About.
Yeah, I have a track on that, too, that I managed to write while doing my own album. So that was fun to weave in. But... Yeah, so the American album kind of grew from there, and it was like I became familiar with a lot of these composers who I wasn't super familiar with then, and it just kind of became like a passion of mine because it was just a really cool vehicle, and it was also a way to just honor guys who weren't really given the tribute. I mean, this was before Video Games Live. This was before Bandcamp. So this was really before there was that much exposure that, you know, came over the years. I mean, like, now you got Vert and Big Giant Circles and all these guys with the crazy Bandcamp pages with all these albums, but that didn't, you know, that didn't exist back then.
Yeah,
and it was just, and Video Games Live wasn't doing it what it is now back then. So it was just what albums were available. So mine kind of changed that a little bit and did what I set out to do, and that was cool. But you know, even though the landscape has changed, I still wanted to do it again and then take it to a whole new level. So
you're a pioneer, man. You're a pioneer. I grabbed your American album off my shelf to see if there was a date on it, and there's not, so I'm sad I couldn't add that.
Oh, that's funny. I did that art myself pretty poorly back then, so.
Now you have an actual artist.
I do. Randall Drew is knocking it out of the park with kind of a silhouette motif.
Speaking of Randall, he's a good friend of ours. We know Randall well.
Indeed.
I love that you can kind of talk about what he does while saying his name. This is the artwork that Randall drew.
Oh, damn it.
I'm sure that's been said a million times, but I wanted to say it again. Just like General Size Chief. Well, that's a great line.
It's like it was meant to be that he had to be an artist with a name like Randall Drew.
That's kind of how I felt like when I was growing up, like, because I grew up on Rock Street. So every time I would like... especially when I went to Guitar Center and they would just be like, all right, and what's your phone number so we can pull you up in the system? Every time I would show up there, I'm like, yeah, my address is 2 Rock Street. And they're like, no, seriously, what's your address? And I'm like, yes, seriously, that's my address. Like, like it wasn't just Rock Street. It was 2 Rock Street.
I like the comments in chat right now asking for a Prison Architect tribute album and a Rock Band tribute album.
Well, I'll do the Rock Band tribute album, and I'll have to cover the covers of the songs. So, like, the modified versions of, like, find the ones that they really messed with and do those.
It would have to be a Rock Revolution tribute album.
Ugh.
Because there's only, like, one actual master song in there. Two of them. Something
well,
terrible.
Yeah, but if you go back to, like, the first Rock Band primarily had some covers, right?
Like,
and then
three.
Even like, well, yeah, but the DLC too, because like, what was it? The Black Sabbath ones weren't actually Black Sabbath.
I think total there were like maybe 10 covers total.
I think there was a decent
Guitar Hero had a lot.
If you go back to Guitar Hero 2, at least like the first two Guitar Heroes, there was a shit ton in those.
But clearly we're not focusing on Rock Band for the American album, are we?
But here's what's funny, though. Some of the original tracks from Doom that I thought original, Robert Prince stole from Alice in Chains. So in a way...
Even if you go back to the first Doom and stuff like that, there's Pantera riffs, there's Metallica riffs. Metallica, there's tons of stuff in there that is absolutely like lifted or at least like, you know, in the vein of some popular metal stuff. So
yeah. So I mean, in a way, it's a remix of an arrangement. So you get that weird thing happening.
Well, and not to mention the fact that technically my job is covering people's music. Like, I'm in a top 40s cover band, so like people will pay other people to play like other people's versions of songs.
Well, in a way, that's kind of why I enjoy remixing, is that you kind of have like that jumping off point where, you know, I mean, yeah, there's the aspect of like, you know, instant fan base for people who like the game, which is, you know, fun. But
right.
I don't know, I like when I create to like mess with the genres. Give me a new sound.
Oh, yeah.
A new fusion of, you know, like, I mean, Joe, what was it, that one crack I made that one time? I was like, dude, I'll do Caribbean death metal. And Joe challenged me to do it.
No, it was, because it's what you did the comeback style in it.
Caribbean.
Something with kazoo.
Oh, Caribbean death metal with bagpipes? Is that what I said?
It wasn't death metal, though.
Right, but it was, what ended up happening was like 80s funk Caribbean bagpipe kazoo harmonica. Like,
it was ridiculous. Your cover of Come Back was just insane. Like I've been considering, because we usually play a handful of songs from people at the end of the show, I might toss Come Back on there.
Painful.
Wasn't that used in like some advertising?
Not that one, no. But I did create the instrumental version for fun, though. But no, I don't think that one got used, but a few of my tracks have. But regardless, I mean, like, that was the whole point of being able to make a wacky genre is like that, is because I had the melody to work with, and I had like a jumping off point. Whereas if you were to just make that for fun and you could come up with a whole melody and everything, it's kind of much harder to get anyone to care.
Absolutely.
And you really are the master of just creating weird genres.
You know, it shot me in the foot, though, when I tried to go, like, you know, work in the industry, because I went to L.A., you know, do music for movies, and I really wanted to, and I couldn't do conventional genres. I tried.
You were too, like, wrapped up in, like, I'm going to fuck with this to the nth degree. Like,
yeah, it was like, okay, here's a little horror movie, and they play some cheesy movie soundtrack stuff that they got from some other movie and said, write something that sounds like that. I'm like, I don't want to. It's been done before. You know, and I rebelled. My brain rebelled against that, and it hurt me to try and write that crap. So the only film that I nailed was this short, low-budget movie about a schizophrenic homicidal clown. And
sounds interesting.
That I had fun with. Because that was insane.
Gee, I wonder why.
I took the da 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 theme and just went insane with it. So that was.
I need to hear this soundtrack.
I'll shoot you the MP3. I have it somewhere. The title was "Put on a Happy Face."
Oh my god! Could we use that on the show too?
Let me see if I can find it.
We're just gonna put like the craziest songs from you possible.
You know, there's a lot of them. So sure.
There are. There was a stretch of like how many years that you didn't do the same genre in a mix. Like you would just try as hard as you could to not repeat a genre on the songs that you created.
And it wasn't so much like the effort, like, you know, it was just like I get bored. It's like, yeah, I've done that before. There's Happy Face. I found the WAV file.
I was actually contemplating doing something similar once I get I'm starting to consider getting Complete, because my guitar player actually has he got Complete 10, like the ultimate version of Complete 10, and I guess when he got it there was some sort of deal that was going on that you got one of their new like modules, the one of their interfaces, like with all the touchpads and all the controls and stuff that ties right into Reactor and all that stuff. So you essentially get that for free. And I was just like, oh man, like it's a lot, it's a big chunk of change, but that level of creativity and being able to have like any fucking sound that I could ever want ever at my fingertips, like I feel like I can kind of mess around and do some really weird shit on that front too. Like, do you ever feel limited by what you're able to record in some of the ideas that you have?
Yeah, but a lot of times it's it makes you become resourceful. Because it's that fine balancing act of, you know, what can I do with what I have? Even though I have access to a lot of stuff, I still, like, you know, I don't have everything. And there's sometimes you have an idea and you got to modify it to fit what you can do. And sometimes that's a fun challenge, you know? So it's both. I mean, if you had every single sound you could imagine, it would be too easy. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's kind of like my personal thing. Like, I don't even use, like, you know, keyboards. Like, I don't have like a nice lush Korg with hundreds of samples. I use a tracker and I bring in samples that I made in SoundForge and that I took from other tracks. And, like, you know, the quality is all over the place, which kind of gives me a fun edge where I deliberately mix 8-bit, 16-bit, old crappy sounds, nice new polished sounds. And, you know, I feel almost like it's cheating if you have like a nice fancy keyboard, you push one key and you hear the entire orchestra whoosh at your fingertips. It's like too easy.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, again, like, but I've been getting a lot more of an appreciation of this because of my guitar player and my bass player. They're both like very theory driven, like mechanical, oh, I'm going to go from this to this to this to this, where I don't have that much of a comprehension on theory, so I'm more going just by ear. But these guys, like, you know, he has complete, and instead of just using a full orchestra sound on each key, like, he'll individually do, like, here's cello one, here's cello two, here's, like, each, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
I can...
That's cool. It all comes down to whatever tool you have. Front. Yeah, whatever tool you have, just are you, you know, do you have the craft to do it well?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think it's a really interesting, just the creative aspect of trying to get the sounds that you're thinking of to application and try and translate them well.
Yeah, and with tracking, especially, it comes down to a lot of just attention to detail. Like, you're like just really chopping this note, sliding that note, bending this one to that one just right, and, like, you know, just detail that just makes it shine. You know, and that took me years to kind of get that right. You know.
Yeah.
And by the way, Joe, I just sent you the Put on a Happy Face MP3.
Fantastic.
So have fun with that.
Is that on Skype or email?
I just sent it to your Gmail.
Okay. Cool.
So it's kind of just like a medley of a couple different themes, and the volume jumps up and down and stuff. But if you want to play it, feel free.
I am excited. I'm very excited. It's always fun to have like exclusive songs that people haven't really heard before.
I really have no clue how many people ever saw this film, too. So it's, you know, it's very now, few people have heard this.
Well, I hope the people that own the rights to that movie are ready to get 10 more sales.
Or they might sue you for playing it because they pay.
Or that too.
Like, hey, that's win-win situation, really.
Sure. Those 10 sales that we got them will cover the legal fees.
What are they going to do? Take my YouTube penny?
Yeah, right.
Fuck you, buddy. You ain't taking my YouTube penny. That's nailed to my wall. So, Maze Dude, you have used a wide, wide variety of different instruments and samples over the years. Are there any instruments that you want to use, that you're planning to use on American Pixels, or something that you wish you could use?
Funny that you should ask that, because there are a few in mind. And, you know, the instruments that I've used on American Pixels currently, I mean, they vary from electric to acoustic to orchestral. What I really want to tackle, which I never have in any, like, post, like, not on the CD, but, like, following it, is some of those other instruments like accordion, bandoneon, harp, like instruments that you wouldn't normally picture as, like, you know, like a feature solo performer, but, like, Danny Baranowski requested a Super Meat Boy remix when I talked to him about the American Pixels album years ago, and I have one in mind, that would be a badass tango, but I didn't get around to writing it, and I'm sorry, Danny, it's not on the album, but I still want to do it.
I was gonna ask later if Danny Baranowski was gonna be one of the guys you were hoping to cover.
You know, he is like one of like three or four that I contacted. They were excited, and then they just didn't make the cut. I didn't finish the track.
You dick. So, you dick.
There are a couple of him, Chris Velasco, Clint Bajakian, and Michael Land, I think, were the list of guys who I was like, yeah, I'm honoring you, and then I didn't. So
bonus tracks. Bonus tracks after the album, right?
That's exactly. And some of them already started. So
nice.
So how What is your workflow normally like when it comes to just like your independent stuff? Like, I'm assuming that you said you freelance for work.
Not anymore. Actually, I used to. I ran my own business for a while where it was kind of like started off like all forms of multimedia, video editing, photography, graphics, music, sound, whatever. And then that kind of transitioned into web design as a full-time job because that paid the bills and everything else kind of didn't. So I was freelance doing website work for back when Flash was popular. And then Flash died. And then I had to adapt and learn more languages. And then I actually got hired by EarQ in Syracuse. And now I'm actually full-time contract salaried employee, which, you know, it's got pros and cons. I'm not home as much. But my cat misses me. I'm sure you guys can relate to that.
I'm sure Joe can relate. I don't have any cats anymore.
Oh.
Although I do miss Potato. So that's
everyone misses Potato.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not freelance anymore. I kind of have the 9-to-5 day job. I work my butt off. I come home and I switch to daddy mode where I start playing with my daughter and, you know, just be a good dad, be a fun dad and, you know, be there for my wife and the house. And then I put Isabel to bed. And then within the remaining time I have left at night or if I wake up early is me time. For music and whatever else. So it's been tough to find the time. But actually, I'll tell you, the trick that I did that actually, you know, I had a dry spell for a while there where most of the music here was written for this thing. And then I never got over that hump. Because what was happening was that I had this home office. And I would go work all day in an office, come home, finally get a little bit of time to go do my own thing, go downstairs, and I'm back in a freaking office.
Yeah.
It just sucked my energy away where I was like, I don't want to be here. I'm looking at whiteboards, bulletin boards, like, ugh. Yeah. So a few months back, actually, with my wife's encouragement, we converted it into a man cave where we painted it dark. We took down the bulletin boards. We unscrewed the whiteboards. We just took out everything that felt like work. I hung up Bad Dudes posters, album art, all that stuff. See, you can see it in the video, in the Kickstarter video, actually. It starts off with me in my cave. So changing the environment made it so I wanted to be back here. I'd come home. I can't wait to get back to the cave. I can't wait to get back down there and you know, create. And that really reinvigorated me. And that's when I wrote my Bad Dudes track. That's when I, you know, really got on fire to get the Kickstarter prepped by July 4th, which was a pretty ridiculous deadline I gave myself to get the video done, to get the previews done, all that stuff. So it's been fun getting back on that. So I hope that answered the question.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the question.
Something about my freelance work.
I was leading to where you delegate your time. So you did answer the question. So
actually, lately I've been pushing myself to wake up crazy early, which is really weird for me because I used to work like till the middle of the night. But I've been waking up at like 5 a.m. So I have an hour of me time.
It's like when I go to bed.
You know, I was doing that for years. I'd go to bed at 4, 5, 6 and work all night. I mean, the first American album, a lot of those tracks I wrote in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know, but things change. When you have a child that wakes up at 6 a.m., no matter what, every day, Saturday, Sunday, holidays, doesn't matter, you change your schedule a bit.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you have to. I mean, like, how do you enjoy, like, having to put the dad hat on now? Like,
well, it's fun, and she's super cute, and she's a really... really happy kid. So that part's cool. Bedtime takes forever. That's like the only beef I have because it's like, you know, make her go potty, brush teeth, mouthwash, 2 books, you want your milk, and then we gotta, she has all these games she likes to play, like, you know, on the way to the bed, I'm gonna pretend this pillow is a monster, and then I'm gonna do this, and then it's like, okay, it's cute, but just get to bed. So it's both. I mean, I really enjoy Saturdays that I have that are free where I can just go do something fun with her, like take her to the park, take her for a walk in the woods, take her to the playground, take her to the zoo, you know, just do the dad stuff. That those days are great. I love that.
It's so weird talking to friends on this show, just how everyone has grown over over the years. I've never been used to like Maze Dude being a dad, or Mustin being a dad, or Ale Sean being a dad.
Yeah,
I mean, my memories of you guys are still MAGFest 1.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's when we first met. Yeah,
yeah. First time I ever met Maze Dude was at MAGFest 1, sitting in the lobby of the hotel talking with Mustin, and you walked over and just started chatting with us. I'm like, oh my god, I loved River City Rammstein.
I remember
one of his early songs.
Although it's funny though, I mean, the Rammstein homage, I just kind of did a Marilyn Manson homage with the Tyrion remix. I don't know if you heard that on the Kickstarter page. If you scroll down, there's a free track.
Okay, I have to check that out.
Yeah, it's I took the Beautiful People and I took the same style and applied it to Alexander Brandon's track from Tyrion, and I called it The Beautiful Spaceships.
That's fantastic.
It just had the same kind of triplet feel. And I just, that's all I needed. So, yeah.
Oh man, before Chris changed the subject, I was going to ask the whole discussion about weird instruments. Have you ever thought about using an automaton?
Didn't you show me where somebody did that once?
Yeah, Chris did it.
I did. I just did it again, right. Too.
I hadn't considered that, actually.
I just did another one. It's almost like I'm still working on it, but it's the it's from Shower with Your Dad Simulator 2015.
That sounds horrifying.
it's like 8-bit, so it's not like you're seeing anything. It's you know, but yeah, you just try and shower. You have to make sure that you're showering with the correct dad, as per your nationality. Honestly, it sounds absolutely ridiculous, and it is. But the gameplay itself, it's kind of like it's arcadey and mindless, and it's not that bad. We all bought each other copies of the game, like a small group of friends of mine. We bought each other copies for a Steam sale or like for Christmas or something stupid like that. We all gifted them to each other, not knowing that we bought them. Like it just so happened that we all bought that game to give to everybody, and it all happened all at once, pretty much.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, I was trying to figure out like I'm gonna try and finish up a small EP of new stuff, and Tim was just like, "Oh, you got to do another automaton song," and I'm like, "Oh, but which one do I do?" And he's just like, "Dude, I know the game," and he sent me the song that he wanted to do, and I was just like, "Oh my god, it's perfect! Like it's coming out better than I thought it would." Like because the first one that I did the the shop theme from Castle Crashers. Uh-huh. And all I did was I used it for the, like the bass notes in the background. So it like, or the, just the little stabs. So I wasn't doing a very complex, melody on them, because trying to get accurate notes on this thing is fucking awful. Like, so I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to push myself. I'm going to try and see if I can get like, as close as I can to the notes that they're supposed to be. And I got pretty damn close. So
you're probably going through something I've been through many times where you struggle and you push all this effort into something. At the end of the day, you're probably the only one who cares.
Yeah, but darn
it. When you listen to it, you're like, yeah, I know.
And the funny thing is like, so I took a picture of myself with the automaton, like in front of my condenser mic at like just sitting at my desk. And I was like working on it, I would post in the comment section of it because everybody was just kind of like, what the fuck is going on? So I just posted a little snippet because it's just a little thing that loops. So like I just did the riff once with the automatons, which there ended up being like I did like six tracks because I broke down sections. And then there was like layers on top of it, because I think there's like three or four of them going on at once.
Oh my lord.
Yeah. So that part took a little bit. And as soon as I finished that up, I posted it in the comments and everybody's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I can't even comprehend what this sounds like. Like, it's just, it's nonsense. What the fuck is happening in my ears? And then I was just like, wait, it's getting worse, because I just added a guitar track on top of it.
But then so, you have to point out that this was a lot of really hard work.
Dude, and it took me hours.
Yeah.
Dude, and it's only like, it was only like a 20-second thing. And it took me hours.
No, I have tracks on my album where like it was layers and layers and layers of like 8-bit sounds that I try to make sound lush and rich and full. And I would work for hours and realize I added 5 seconds to this track. Good Lord. Yeah. But man, they're 5 good seconds.
They're really tomorrow, good. Yeah.
Tomorrow we'll add 2 more
seconds. Them over and over and over again.
I think it might be time for Maze Dude to use an automaton on a song.
I won't shy from the challenge.
I tell you what, man, when you get it, it's so satisfying. Like, it's like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I had to do a shit ton of mine's still on my desk sitting in front of me, because like, yeah, I'm proud that I got that done. Like, it's like you get a really big sense of accomplishment when you can make something sound not that shitty when it is an obviously shitty instrument.
You know, I used a Pepsi bottle in a song. I blew like over the lid, or what do you call that hole? You know what I mean?
Like, kind of used it as like a flute almost.
Yeah, like I sampled it and I made like a pan flute thing out of it. So yeah, you know, it's getting creative. What do you got? You know, make it work.
Like Al Sean doing all the percussion for one song on a can of Sparks.
That was brilliant. I love that track.
The drugstore sells Sparks.
I love that one.
It's just always fun when people go weird.
Well, it's also to show you, like, you got to have fun with this. Every track can't be serious, you know, or boring, you know? I mean, you got to go wacky.
Yeah, that was specifically the whole reason why I did that on the first, like, the first CD that I did. Because, like, all of them are, like, super metal, like, aggressive songs. And then right smack dab in the middle, there's just this fucking automaton nonsense.
just play something now, Chris. Bust out the automaton.
Yeah, no, it's right in front of me.
Just for the people who don't know what an automaton sounds like.
There's 3 octaves. I'll start with the low. All right. And then here's the medium. And then the high.
Yes, no. that is a real instrument, people.
So now it's a touch strip, so you don't know where the fuck the notes are. The reaction of the touch strip is not very responsive. My finger was barely moving.
That sounded amazing.
The thing that is kind of neat is it does have override, where like if you have a lower note held like this, and you go to switch to the higher note, it'll just completely negate the lower note. So you could do some pretty big jumps.
Like, now play Thunderstruck.
I can't even move my fucking hand the way that it needs to move. Like, this is just... God damn it. Like, it's
next week on the show, Chris is going to be like, guess what? I learned how to play Thunderstruck on the automaton.
I'm going to try and you know what? Just in spite of you, I'm going to try and add it to the end of the Shower with Your Dad Simulator one. I'm just gonna like try and shoehorn it right in the fucking middle. Like, what is this Thunderstruck? Like, what the hell is going?
That's pretty close.
I'm gonna get it, you fucker.
I'm so glad that I created that.
Yeah.
So anyway, American Pixels, it is on Kickstarter right now. Tell us about the Kickstarter.
It's my first time ever doing Kickstarter, so it's been an adventure. I've seen a lot of my friends do it with mixed success. You know, I saw the Seventh Guest 3 go for Kickstarter and not do great. I saw Big Giant Circles go for Kickstarter and blow it out of the park. So it's really hard to predict, you know, and I figured, you know, I'll do this one to the best of my ability. And I talked to everyone beforehand, learn what worked for them, what didn't, and try to make a great video. Give away a lot of free samples, you know, kind of figure them, just be generous, give as much as you can, explain it as best as I can, but try not to go too long, which is tricky because it's a complex concept, so I can't really just do it super short either in the video or the write-up. So but yeah, the first day, so here's the thing, I knew I wanted to launch July 4th, and everyone was telling me like, oh, it's patriotic, and then they would pause and go, wait a minute, it's a holiday, no one's going to be online in a holiday. And I was like, I don't know, think about it this way, people won't be at work because it's a holiday, there'll be enough people online. So it was a risk. I launched it right at midnight on July 4th. And then started getting the word out and spreading the buzz and everything. And then by July 5th, I was at nearly $1,000, which nice. Was 20% of the overall goal. And I was like, this is amazing. If every day is like this, boom, every stretch goal, I'm going to be sitting pretty. Day two, couple hundred dollars. Day three, maybe $50. So it slowed down, and it was just kind of like, aw. Day one was so much fun. But, you know, I mean, I've talked to people about this, though, and they say that's the trend. I mean, it's kind of like, oh, there it is. Yeah, so it's like, you know, the first few days, great. Last few days, great. Everyone in the middle, trying to get a few a day and just keep pumping it. Keep spreading the word. Come and do great shows like this podcast. Like,
great.
Yeah.
I'm having fun. Come do shows like this podcast.
You're high. Yeah.
And you know, just keep getting the word out. I mean, I'm going to be trying to release regular updates, more samples of the music, more stories, so people know why I did the tracks I did and how they developed and everything. So, you know, just going to keep plugging the hell out of it this month. You're probably going to get sick of seeing it and hearing it, but the end result hopefully is to get, you know, funded, obviously, and get this thing done. And regardless, it's getting done. Even if I don't hit my goal, I'll get it funded. I just want to get it funded faster.
Yeah.
And also, just, and honestly, I am just curious. There's a tremendous curiosity. I've been releasing these things for free for 15 years. If I this one time say, hey guys, I could use some help. I hate doing the whole give me your money thing, but hey, help me out. This one time, after years of free stuff, will anyone care? Or is it going to be the internet where I got to pay for something? Screw that. I don't know. So we'll see. And we're just about the 50% mark after just over a week. So I'm very optimistic. And it's going well. And I just want to see it pick back up. So,
well, I tell you what, man, like, I felt weird charging people for my first CD because I was a nobody. Like, there is that, like, I don't know, you almost feel guilty. But then, almost everybody that I talk to, they're like, no, like, you're a musician. This is what you would do for work. It's not outlandish to want compensation. However, the way that you go about it will stick with people more. And what I ended up doing was just to pay what you want. So, yeah. And even just by doing that, I actually ended up making more than I thought I would, because I probably would have sold it for cheaper for some people. I think most people gave me about $5 to $10 for them. And dude, they were burnt CDs in paper sleeves with a black and white paper insert. Like,
I remember high quality. I picked one up at MagFest.
But it was just like, I mean, like, obviously there wasn't a huge overhead, but if you're putting out something that at least is half decent and people recognize that you put work into it, like, it's not unreasonable to think that they'll compensate you for it.
No, not at all. And, like, you know, I do have the you know, software and the abilities to release a lot of the stuff for free, but the problem is with this particular album is that I need professional engineers to come in, mix and master, and, you know, make this sound great. I want to make the artwork nice, you know, and just other things that just cost money. And honestly, there is a bucket list mentality where I just want this one time to have my own CD that is pressed in plastic that I can hold in my hand and be like, this is mine. You know, it's not something that's burnt. It's not something that's, you know, I'm a guest artist on a collection, but like, this is my project. And is that selfish? Maybe, but who cares? You know, it's something I wanted to do and I'm going to make it happen.
And you're going full legit with fully licensed and everything.
Yeah, licensed. You know, I'm working with the guys at Louder to make sure that this thing is, you know, above board and legit, and everyone gets paid properly. That after the CD is released, you know, proper, you know, payments are given in that regard. That it's properly tracked and everything. Is it streamed wherever it goes? I'm going to get it on iTunes, Amazon, and you know, regardless of how the Kickstarter does, once this is done and it's out there, there's that whole passive income angle too, which is just kind of like, you know, a year later, someone buys it. Hey, I get, you know, a few bucks. Keep that going, you know, and just see what happens.
Yeah.
And ideally, you know, get enough interest where this kind of fusion where I'm bringing on live performers mixing with hardcore electronics becomes something where people want and I can do more of it.
Speaking of the live performers, tell us about some of the guest musicians you're going to have on the album.
Well, I brought on a lot of good friends. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm a you know, musician as well. I grew up in band. I played trombone. You know, I was a band geek. And, you know, I would play these solos for different contests and whatever else. And it was kind of like either you're playing a very challenging solo completely just by yourself, or you have a piano, or if there are any that have like electronic accompaniment, they're all crazy, like avant-garde, weird, minimalist, whatever. There aren't great options for someone who wants to play their instrument, but play something upbeat, kick-ass, video gamey, you know, with you know, something that's fun and also challenging. What you do find a lot in the scene is, you know, even if there's a live performer, it's more pretty and beautiful. Like you find a flute performer playing this really sweet flute track, but it's easy. And, you know, there's no offense to anyone who does that, but it was just kind of like, well, what if I can merge those worlds, write a track that is challenging, difficult, virtuoso, write the sheet music, and put it with video game music, and put it with the electronics, all that stuff all at once. But to do so, you need some really talented people, because I'm writing stuff that's like, you know, I wrote a marimba piece where you need four mallets at once, crazy crap like that, where it's like you need someone who knows what they're doing.
Good Lord.
Yeah, so there were times where, you know, I'm just thinking like, well, even before I write, who do I want to bring on? Who has got the chops to do this? And a lot of the names are familiar. A lot of the bad dudes lended their skills. Dishu came on to play piano for the Dragonborn Concerto, which is great to have him. You know, he's a phenomenal performer, and I knew he'd be up for it. Let's see. Zyko comes on and does his thing, and I deliberately wrote a track that I put a lot of like open space in just to let Zyko be Zyko and just meander and wander with his guitar and just do his thing. Someone's commenting about four mallets. Yeah, okay.
Mustard grip all the way.
What else was
I'm
saying?
I'm assuming because their name is Xylo Freak, they play a xylophone.
You would think so, possibly.
I hope so.
I'm going to be really let down.
Yeah, but Kunal Majmudar comes on and plays keys.
Elshan
playing guitar. But I also brought on electric bass. I don't know if you've ever heard solo electric bass, but it is a haunting sound. When you get really high and, like, you know, just play leads and stuff on electric bass, like, it is a trippy, haunting sound that I wanted to do a track for. So I brought on a great local musician, Matt Vicante, of this jazz band called ESP, and his wife played marimba. So I brought her on to be the marimba player. You know, so
that's
it's just
nepotism.
You know, it's like I got the sheet music, I got the solos written, and the hope is that, you know, maybe once this gets out there, other people will want to play that too. Like, you know, in college, for example, you know, these up and coming talented musicians, they need to put on concerts. Well, what if they want to play one of these in their concert? It would be very different from every other thing in the set. You know, that's kind of what I want to provide, is that option to play a video game track at your recital. And guess what? It's challenging, and it's really impressive when you play it right, and that kind of stuff. I have a trombone solo on here that I brought in one of my college friends, David White. you know, it's people ask me, why didn't I play trombone if I wrote trombone solo? I'm like, I am rusty. I don't play anymore. This guy, I sat next to him in orchestra, and he is still playing, and he is writing his own music, and it is freaking amazing. I'm bringing him on. And he was happy to do it. So, yeah, it's just a big old mix of, you know, not just bringing on buddies because, you know, it's I'm forming a band or anything, but it's like every guest performer, they're the only one on that track, and they are just shining and just rocking it.
Yeah, I actually liked I liked the philosophy of if you're going to have somebody guest, like they're the only guest.
Yeah,
like I always kind of get like. I get kind of bummed out when there's like multiple guests because it's like, man, it's you're taking it away from each individual person. Like it's, I don't know.
To make an Maybe analogy, it's like funny. Putting together a movie like The Expendables, where all these great fighters come in and don't fight.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Because nobody wants to step on each other, so everybody just like does what you know what would be best for the song, as opposed to being like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna go be an idiot." Like, I love hearing solo guitar players just finger vomit, for real, because like
I know exactly what you mean, but I also never heard that term.
Well, it is. It's like Tourette's almost. They just fucking. Like they don't necessarily know what notes they're playing at a certain point because it just becomes a jarbled mess. But for some reason, like I love when guitar players are like, "Hey man, I'm gonna show you what I got," and it's just nonsense. Like,
yeah, I don't know. And there is room for that on this album too. Actually, there's spots where Kunal and Zyko do that pretty darn well. And even David White, I gave him a big solo section, and it's just gonna be wacky jazz trombone going crazy.
That's like Alshon solo on your album, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I told him. I'm like, dude, just be an idiot. Just do like, have fun. And if you get really stuck on a riff or something like that, don't be afraid to repeat it for the rest of the solo. Like,
yeah, like he went nuts. Like I've never heard Sean do such an insane solo before.
Dude, and I told him, I'm like, here, man, you could just like, you could start here and whenever you feel like stopping, you can stop. He's like, all right, sure. And he sent me a solo that went past the rest of the song. So I just did a gradual fade out because I'm like, well, I'm not going to cut it. Like,
oh, my Lord.
That's why we have fade outs, Joe.
Should have extended it. Fade outs suck. Hate fade outs.
I like fade outs.
Amazed, dude. How many fade outs are on your album?
Not many. Not many. One or two, maybe, but mostly no.
As long as you don't overuse it, it can be a very great tool.
Yeah, but I thought yours shouldn't have faded out. It just it fucked the life out of it. I'm like, no, I don't want it to end.
I have a fade out at the end of my Bioshock 2 remix where I have a chip lead doing this weird ass solo at the end, and the notes kept getting more wrong and more wrong as it fades out. So if you listen carefully, it starts to sound just less pretty as it gets quieter and quieter. But I almost went back and rewrote it to sound good. And I was like, no, what? No, that's a fade out. This is where you put the crap. Put in the fade out.
This is where you put exactly. The crap.
Either people are going to want to listen in because all right, so I don't know if I'm the only person that did this, but every single time there was an album that had a fade out, I would sit on the volume dial and make sure that I wrote it all the way out until I heard every little bit that was there, because I wanted to know if it was a fade out so that you can get a crazier impression of the good stuff that's happening, or just be like, wow, that's hysterical because that's awful.
I never did that, but...
Yeah, because there's so many albums where I'm like, is it going to be good or bad? Is it going to be good or bad? And then it's just like, oh, this is a bad one. That was great. And then you just go to the next one, like, holy fuck, that guy's just, oh, he's still going. Oh my God, he's still going. like it's a completely different type of mindset depending on how you use it. And I wanted to get across that he was having this ridiculously insane solo. So I wanted to do the fade out to almost like impact it more. Like, and I don't know if I'm the only person that ever gets that type of sensation with a fade out, if it's a good fade out, but that was my mentality going into it.
So are you turning the volume up as it fades out, and then the next song comes in and blows your ears off? Turn it back down.
Yes. You have to know when to turn it back.
That's why Chris is partially deaf.
And no, it can't be that I'm a drummer.
Not at all.
No.
You know, I work for a company called EarQ. Check it out. We can help you with your hearing.
I actually have been looking into, I want to get better in-ear monitors, because I'm just using like the universal fit mold things. I think I want to do the actual like legitimate mold. Yeah.
I can help you with that. We got contacts all across the country.
I'm like 15 minutes outside of Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. I will check and see who we have there.
Cool.
I know some in Pittsburgh. I know some folks towards Mount Joy in Lebanon. Let's see where else. Pittsburgh. I'll check. I'll see what I can find.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, like, dude, there's so many different companies that do in-ears at this point. Like, it's kind of difficult to figure out where to go for them. Fender's making in-ear monitors now.
Well, Apple's trying to make hearing aids, so like, wacky.
It's too many options, too many things.
Yeah. So we've been talking for an hour already. Wow.
Yeah.
Have we? Damn.
Is there like a time limit on this? Do I need to get off so I can play your music or do your reviews or whatever?
No, we don't have a time limit.
Well, I mean, we normally go for about an hour.
For interviews, yeah, normally, but really, I mean, don't forget, like, a chunk of that wasn't recording.
That's true. So, yeah, well, and technically, if you wanted to sit in for the news and other stuff, it's not like you can't.
Yeah, it's just you're allowed to hang out as long as you want.
Yeah.
You're Maze Dude. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
That is true.
You could do a backflip on our show if you wanted.
And everybody would see it.
Probably.
I actually recently just got my backflip back after my knee surgery, so that's exciting. A few months ago, I landed the first one standing that I've done in years since I tore my ACL.
Damn.
So that's, yeah, no, I went through 2 years where I couldn't really do any tricks or anything because I blew my knee out. So, yeah, like you said earlier, getting older, you know?
Yeah.
I'm falling apart.
I currently have a hernia, and I'm still playing like 4 gigs a week.
Yeesh.
Like, trust me, I understand.
Yep.
I will always remember the early MAGFest days where you and Tosser would have, like, flip-offs.
Yeah, well, the one of us live, we did our best one.
So fun.
It was.
During the performance, instead of a dance circle, it was a flip circle.
And we both had very different styles, too, which made it a lot of fun. But yeah, I still do that stuff a little bit on the side. But yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to plug. What is this person sharing?
It's a picture of you.
MAGFest 7, I think.
Is Ian.
That's Ian in chat. Indeed. That's Jesus.
Ian Jesus Ian.
I believe he was there as well. And of course, Lumberjacks, you guys are always there.
Indeed.
So. Cool. We'll tell you what, I might hop back in a minute, but I'll let you guys carry on with your reviews and music and whatnot. I'm going to go check on my wife who just came home. And my last plug for American Pixels is I have a forwarding address on AmericanPixels.com. It's very easy to find. So go give me your money. I mean, check out the music.
Well, you got $32 from me, so...
Hey, every little bit is appreciated. You know, seriously, it's you know, it's a labor of love. I just want to get it done, but I want to get it done right, you know?
I had to be a part of it. Had to.
And we are just about at the 50% mark. So, you know, if you guys hop on quickly, you can be the one who hits the 50% mark, and I'll say thank you.
Indeed. Jump on there. 23 days to go. You were aiming for $5,000. You were at $2,367.
Exactly. So
let's go, people. Jump on and back this album. Make it happen. Make it happen. Make it good. As cats claw up my leg, that hurts a lot.
Okay, well, leave it to your cats. I'll be back in a few. But you guys carry on. All right.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for joining us, and we'll weave you back into the conversation when you return.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Cool beans. All right, so. Might as well just jump into the news. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, do you want to do reviews or news first? Or emails? Do we have emails?
I don't think we have any non-contest related. I will open it up and check. Which, by the way... Oh, God, Maze Dude was going to ask about it. Well, we'll mention the contest when he comes back.
Okay. Well, for those of you that don't know, while you're checking the email, I'll segue. You can email us at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. It does not have to be contest related, but it can be, which we will talk about our contest that we're having right now momentarily. But you can just... ask us, you know, if there's something going on in the gaming community or in tech world or what have you that you want us to discuss, just email us. Let us know. It doesn't have to be for a contest.
Yes, just be a part of our show. We like talking to people.
Or you can hop into our Twitch Twitch chat when we record the shows live, and you can bother us in there.
Indeed. And maybe if we have a guest who's using a camera, you'll get to see my kittens.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do a quick little plug as well. I finally got some of my stuff that I'm going to need for my stream. I'm going to give it a shot again tonight.
Do you want to switch to video and show off?
Not yet, because I don't have the other light set up currently.
Ah.
Yeah. But I'm going to be updating my processor soon, so I'll actually be able to do the level of streaming that I'm going to want to do. For now, I'm going to attempt to just do like some music editing stuff, which I'm going to have that be a part of the channel anyway. But that shouldn't be as taxing on my computer, hopefully. We'll find out the hard way tonight. But
nice. We'll have to check that out. And where can people find you on Twitter?
I believe I should be Kroth 1134.
Should at least know your own goddamn Twitch handle.
It is. It's Kroth, Kroth 1134.
All right, so do you want to do reviews or news?
That's completely up to you, my friend.
I guess I'll ask you, do you want to talk or do you want to listen?
I can listen.
All right, then we will dive headfirst into the reviews of the week. First game, I am stupidly excited about this one. Song of the Deep, developed by Insomniac Games, published by Game Trust, a.k.a. GameStop. Yes, this was their very first game that they have published. It released July 12th for $14.99 on digital. And for the standard physical edition only available at GameStop since they're the publishers here. They also have a collector's edition available for only $29.99 that includes the game, a special edition of the book because there's an actual book to the game with like pages and words that you can read.
Things.
Stickers, a steel book, and a soundtrack download. And I don't know if all copies are like this or if they messed up with my copy, but when I put the soundtrack download in, it was a Steam code and it gave me the game as well.
That's awesome.
So I also have the game on Steam now. So anyway, the game follows the story of a young girl whose dad was a sailor, and he would go out during the day, go do fishing, and return at night, and he just didn't return. And she, after waiting for days, she decides that she's going to build a submarine and look for him, and it follows her exploration of the ocean floor, and it is, first off, the game is gorgeous. It is absolutely beautiful. Second off, it is incredibly fun. It is a Metroidvania style game, which is always fun to play. And it is just, there is just so much to explore, so much to do. And it's not just all combat. There's tons of puzzles in there that you're going to have to work out. They say that the game could hover around like a 6 hour playtime. I think I've put in over 6 hours so far, and I'm not done with the story. So it's,
yeah, but you're to be fair, you are a completionist. So
I am, especially in Metroidvania style games where I'm like, oh, I have this ability, I can go back and do this now.
Right. So Yay! So mileage may vary because Joe likes to take his time, which there's nothing wrong with. So. Just be aware
with,
of that.
With a game that looks and plays this good, you're going to want to spend the time to explore.
As it should be.
It's all undersea, and it is, oh, it's so beautiful. The music is incredible. The voice acting is great. Imagine that, a game with good voice acting. Then again, it's Insomniac Games, so you're almost guaranteed a quality product. Don't let the whole GameStop thing throw you off. They're basically just the ones who are publishing the game. The game itself is just, damn, it is good. I think this is going to be talked about this year, like Ori and the Blind Forest was talked about last year.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
It is a very bold statement, and I am going to stand behind it.
Okay, well, let me ask you this from an outsider's perspective without having played the game.
Okay.
And just on a sales point of view and your view as a consumer.
Okay.
Do you feel more comfortable about GameStop releasing games now that they've released one that's not doo-doo? This is their first one, right?
Yes. This is the first game that they're releasing through their Game Trust publishing label. If they have the same involvement that they had with this game that they do with other games, which is basically they stay the fuck out of the actual creation of the game and they just publish and sell the thing, I'm fine with it. I didn't have a problem with it to begin with, really. I thought it was kind of strange that they were doing it, but I can understand why they did it. But if they just let the developers make fantastic games, that I don't think something like this would have come along if it weren't for GameStop.
Think they would try and self-publish or like find someone else?
I don't think it was probably just a GameStop coming along like, hey, have you guys had any kind of ideas that you'd want to see happen with a game? They're like, well, we had this idea for a tiny little downloadable game, and they're like, we'll fund it. Let's make it happen. I think they just kind of went out on a limb and did something unique and different because they had the opportunity to do so. And I think if that offer wasn't there, it might not have happened.
Okay. All right. I mean, like, yeah, it's true. I mean, I see where you're saying, so...
Yeah, as long as the games are as good as this one, GameStop could do what the hell they want.
Cool with it. Fine with it.
Someone was like, oh, it's bullshit that GameStop is the only place selling the game. They're publishing the game. I think they earned this one.
Oh, fucking absolutely.
This isn't like a normal store exclusive thing. Like, they fronted the money for this game. Yeah, I don't have a problem with them having an exclusive on this one. The game, needless to say, it is an absolute buy it. I honestly believe this is going to be talked about with either Game of the Year or Digital Game of the Year conversation. It's just a fantastic game.
Cool. Good to hear. I'm glad that GameStop actually, like, you know, put some effort into something that's a positive for the gaming community. So yeah.
And Ashley is actually giving me dirty looks because when we picked up the game, the guy's like, oh, have you heard anything good about the game yet? I'm like, I've been playing it all weekend. It's just fantastic. And Ashley just gave me a dirty look like, this is the one you've been playing all weekend? Why are we buying it?
Yeah, right.
Because they deserve the money. I bought the collector's edition. I don't regret it. It's just an amazing game.
Cool. That's good to hear.
So buy it.
What's next?
Next up is The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing, developed and published by Neocore Games, released July 1st for $14.99. You will remember the first game was a game with Games with Gold title. You remember those days?
Yes.
And there is DLC for the second game. It is not like the first game, where in the first game, the DLC were two different character classes. It is not like that this time around. This time, the DLC, they have an armor set for a buck and a little mini pet for a buck. So, no problems there.
Okay.
So they, you were not missing out on any character classes. This game, if you've played the first one, you are going to know exactly what you're getting into. This is an absolute direct sequel that picks up right at the end of the first game to the point where you can import your character into the new game if you've beaten the first one.
Cool.
So, and
so almost Champions of Norrothy.
I wish I played the...
Well, had I known that you never played it, then I would have obviously tried the copy that I had in your PlayStation when I lived with you.
I think we went over that a few times.
I don't remember you saying that you never played it.
Yeah, I never played them. But it very similar game. If you've played the first one, it is like it's a top-down hack and slash with some guns if you want. You are the monster hunter Van Helsing. At the end of the first game, I don't really remember all of the story of the first game because it's been a while. You were basically trying to overthrow like a corrupt government. And this time around, it's like in the middle of the war. The game starts up and it feels more like a tower defense where you are managing a siege on your city. And if you want, you can like micromanage what you want to do and talk to all the different generals and whatnot, or you can just be like, hey, you're a general, you handle all the planning, I'm just gonna kill shit because I just like killing shit.
It's fair.
Yeah,
let's be honest, it's a hack and slash. You want to hack and slash, like,
indeed. It does seem like some of the areas are a bit more linear than in the first game. Like the first Van Helsing, it seemed like there were giant wide open areas, where this seems to have more constrained, like, maze-like corridors. So there are some offshoots. It just seems more streamlined and to the point.
Okay.
Which, it's a good or a bad thing, depending on
I was just about to ask, is it good or bad?
I'm enjoying the hell out of the game. I have run into some technical issues. The game has frozen up on me, like, four times already. Well, like hard great. Lock, the game freezes and just crashes to the dashboard. And thankfully, it pretty much constantly is saving your progress. I didn't really lose much progress on it, but it is a nuisance because just like the first game, there are some brutal load times in there going between areas. It's slightly improved from the first game, but it's still kind of rough with the load time.
That's unfortunate.
Gameplay-wise, though, if you've played the first one, if you've played stuff like Diablo or Champions of Norrath, you know what you're getting. It's just like that. Top-down, hack and slash. There's some guns in there. There's some spells in there. You're probably going to die if you don't build your character properly. Like, I'm mainly focused on up-close melee stuff. And in the one chapter, there were, like, a bunch of ranged enemies that just chipped away at you like a motherfucker. So you want to make sure that you don't just go all one route and kind of like try to build up a well-rounded character. All three of the classes are available from the start, unlike the first game where you had to buy them. You can pick any of the three. What were they? Hermitage, Hunter, and like Arcane Warrior? I don't remember. I'm just a hunter like the first game. But overall, awesome game, a lot of fun. The DLC I actually picked up because why not? The little mini pet for $1 is neat because it'll just like it gives you a slight boost to like your gold and magic find, plus he'll randomly drop money.
Ah.
And then so the armor set like is most, for level like 30, so I don't know.
Pets in games.
Yeah.
That's how they like to work them in.
Hey, Maze Dude's back. What game were we talking about?
No, we are talking about The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 2.
Ah, I haven't played it, but I will listen.
It is good stuff. I was just about to give it a buy it rating on our scale of buy it, try it, deny it.
Well, then it makes it the best ranking it can get.
Indeed. It's a really good stuff. Enjoyable game. Chris, did you want to talk about the contest now that Maze Dude is back?
We could finish the rest of the reviews first.
Because there are a chunk of them.
Well, what? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
6 more, yep.
It's up to you.
How about we do 1 or 2 more, and then we'll take a break from reviews and
sure.
Do others. Yeah,
let's do that.
To give my throat a bit of a rest.
Yeah.
Next game is called Anarcute, developed and published by Anar Team, released July 12th for $14.99.
This is adorable as fuck.
It is. It is absolutely ridiculously cute, where there is... You play a series of adorable animals who have to adorably team up for an adorable riot.
Oh my god, this looks amazing.
It pretty much is amazing.
Dude, this is... Oh my gosh. This is really fucking adorable.
Yeah. the game plays a lot... It has a lot in common with Katamari games, where you start with just a handful of animals and you go around the stages picking up more animals that are in groups, or they might be locked up in cages, and you have to break them free. You have to take out the enemies and the cops and the guards and everything else, and you have to reclaim the cities town by town by town, map by map. And it is just ridiculous, where you're a swarm of like 40, 50 cute little adorable animals attacking a swarm of police officers.
That's hysterical. Dude, this is, oh my gosh, this is really hysterical.
Yeah,
this looks so cool. Like,
words cannot properly qualify or describe this game. Ian, the game is called Anarcute. Like anarchy, but cute. Is cute anarchy. Anarcute. Yeah, it
this
is.
Looks so awesome. Like,
it is so ridiculously fun. Of course, each stage based on how quick you do it, how many cops you take out, and how many people are in your mob at the end, you'll get letter ratings, and the goal is obviously to get S rankings on everything. There are God. 5 or 6 different cities that you have to reclaim, and each one has, you know, like 5 to 7 different stages, some bonus areas to do, cutscenes. There are dozens of different animals to unlock, costumes that you can unlock. You can buy upgrades that, depending on the size of your mob, you can get special abilities, or you could walk faster. Or if you're throwing stuff, you'll like refill your ammo, like unlimited throwables. It's just ridiculously goofy and fun, but it does get more difficult clearly as you go on.
Of course.
But you have to be smarter about how you're playing. Not that the levels are impossible. They're just more complex and require more planning and patience to do, instead of just running in and mashing the attack button and taking out the cops right away. Because they fight back and you will lose animals. And there are only a set number of animals in each level. So if you lose too many, you kind of fuck yourself over.
This is really cool. I'm going to add this onto my wish list.
But yeah, the game is out now for $15. I'm giving it another buy it. It is hilariously adorable.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's just a blast to watch. I think I'm going to end up watching a lot of people play this on Twitch.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because it's just so goofy.
Yeah, this would be a good one to watch.
All right,
I agree.
Next game to talk about until we take a break is called Cube. You might remember that we talked to the folks from Ninja Egg a couple of episodes ago, like a month or so ago, something like that.
It might have been more than that.
Well, good news, the game is finally out this week, released July 13th for $19.99, although if you pre-order it, you can get it for $14.99. They described the game quite a bit when they were on, where it's basically, it is a cube rolling puzzle game, but instead of something like Cubot or how are the other cube style puzzle games that we've covered?
I don't remember names of that stuff.
People are, instead of just being like a puzzle game, like just solve a puzzle, you are actually going through stages. It is a platformer cube rolling puzzle game. If that makes sense. If not, go back and listen to our episode. Finally have our hands on the full game. The game, as they described with the $20 price tag, it is massive. There are, I think, 80 stages in the game, something ridiculous like that.
Oh,
there is absolute hours upon hours of gameplay. You clearly want to go for gold medals for time and deaths on every stage, which usually means don't die on the stage. You want to get the hidden star collectibles in stages. Some of them you're going to have to really look for and figure out. The game is, it's just awesome. I know some people might be turned off by the $20 price tag and worry about the longevity for the price. There is absolutely a $20 worth of content in this game for how much is there and how big the game is. For the $15 pre-order price, it's absolute buy it. You should have already pre-ordered it. It's good stuff. If you're not so sure on spending the $20, watch some people play it. But for $15 pre-order, absolutely. For $20, watch someone and see if it's for you.
That's fair. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, there's four reviews, and we'll do four more later.
Yeah, but before then, we'll talk about the contest that's almost over.
There is less than a week left. Next week, when we record this show, we will be discussing the entries and picking a winner. Next week on the show. It is happening.
It's happening.
It is happening. Take that picture that you see on Reddit all the time of "it's happening" with the flashing background.
Yep. Maze Dude, if you're still there,
I'm around.
We're gonna go over the contest. Pay attention.
I'm listening.
You can hear what you could possibly win.
Yes. You had questions about the contest, didn't you?
I was just kind of curious for what am I winning? What would I be entering?
Well, we will run down the contest one more time since this is the last opportunity to do so.
Seems fair.
Way, way back in the early days of our show, we were known as the Small, Medium, Large Podcast.
Hence the name.
About 20 episodes in, that changed to the Someone Might Listen podcast, keeping with the SML theme. Now that we're over 200 episodes in, and we know that people are listening to the show, it's time to change up what the SML stands for. So that is where our listeners come into play. They have to email us at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com what they think the SML should stand for. I know the first time around that we did this, we got a bunch of really ridiculously stupid ones, which are funny and enjoyable and hilarious to read and check out. But we eventually went with Someone Might Listen because it was fitting for a gaming podcast that didn't have many listeners.
So now we're trying to find something that's more fitting. While we obviously are going to get a chuckle at some of the funny ones, we are trying to look for something that we could legitimately use.
Yes. So if people are allowed to send in as many entries as they want, keep in mind that the more you send us, you know, if you have 5 gems out of 25 entries, it might not be as good as having just 5 really good entries. Because we have to wade through the shit to get to the good stuff.
True. So
keep that in mind when you're sending your entries in, that just because you can send in as many as you want doesn't mean that it'll help you.
Got it.
Truth.
I actually won a similar contest in college. There were three dorm buildings, and they all had quirky names. There was the Big House, there was the Far Side, and then there was Crossroads, and they were building a fourth building. And it was kind of like completing this square, but it was like slightly farther away from the others. And they had a contest to see who could name the building, and if you won, you got $100. And I won. I named it the Outback. Nice. Because they're all quirky names, two syllables. And this one was kind of like in the square, but kind of farther back. It was like out back. So I'm like, well, there you go. So I have experience with such a contest.
Well,
good thing for you is there's still time to enter.
There's still time to enter. And there is a ridiculous amount of things that you could win.
Ridiculous. An absolutely absurd amount of prizes. First off, on
Facebook, $1,000 worth when you put it all together?
Way more than $1,000. I just haven't updated the tally in a while. But yes, the prize package is digital only is worth over $1,000. Games covering Xbox One, PS4, Steam. There's even a PSP/Vita game. We even have a Wii U and a 3DS game in there. There are dozens of games from companies like Loot Interactive, Harmonix, Gaijin Works, Upfall Studios, Matrified Games, Jaywalkers Interactive, Metalhead Software. Just there are nearly 50 different companies who have sent in games and codes for us to give out. And the grand prize winner gets it all. We have a couple of duplicate codes that we're going to give out for a mini second place package, but they're all duplicates. It's not like you're getting anything. You're not missing out on anything as the grand prize winner. You are getting everything. Duplicates will go to the second place, as well as we'll have a handful of other assorted
honorable
codes. Just give out randomly to other people. Plus, we have music prizes, digital again, from Inverse Phase, the Spin Wires, Bob Baffy, Stemage, Metroid Metal, and that doesn't even include the physical goodies, which we covered before. Our first really, really cool entry or prize for the physical package was a hat from Metalhead Software for the Sirloins from Super Mega Baseball. And they did not make many of these hats.
That's a nice-ass hat.
You always get the most random physical stuff from games and franchises that I've ever seen. It's bizarre. Like, why do they make a figurine of that? Oh, Joe has it.
Yeah. Yep.
While I was in Illinois, we got a copy of Lonely Rolling Stars Carnivortex DD to include it. Right. We got a CD from Austin Green, who released an album under WASD to be included as well. We're going to have plenty of different goodies and swag from me that I'm just going to fill up the box with, because clearly that's going to happen. And then, of course, the really, really big cool prize that was just added last week, we have a custom-made, 3D-printed Pip-Boy replica from Fallout. Friend of the show, John Peters, who actually won our contest on episode 25 way back when, he does 3D printing stuff. He sells them at MAGFest. So if you were at MAGFest, chances are you saw him there in the vendor room. He normally sells these things for over $100, and he sent one to be included, as well as a bunch of bottle caps for Nuka-Cola and Sunset Sarsaparilla.
That is awesome.
So there is a shitload of stuff.
Oh, and by the way, one of my favorite prizes, since we didn't mention it specifically, $200 worth of DLC for Rock Band. What?
Yes. $200 worth of DLC for Rock Band 4. On either Xbox One or PS4, you get to pick the platform.
It's bonkers. Yeah.
Harmonix. Totally Harmonix is awesome to us. They have been awesome to us and are going whole hog with this contest. So again, the smlpodcast@gmail.com to send in your entries. If you want all the rules, go to joecam.net. It is pinned. It is the top entry on the page. Get all the details there. Yeah, enter. And then I heard that we have another prize to enter in today. Maze Dude, you were going to chip something in, weren't you?
Well, American Pixels is going to have not only the digital but actual CDs as well, and I'm getting a bunch of these made, so yeah, I'll chip in a CD.
But there you go. If you can't afford to kickstart the album, you might not have to, because you could win a copy.
But you should probably kickstart the album instead.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, you absolutely should. Because there's still 23 days.
The point is, you can get the extra copy to give to a friend.
Yeah, there's 23 days left in the Kickstarter, but less than a week for the contest. So if you don't win, you better fucking kickstart the project.
God damn it.
You know, on those rare cases where I got two copies of an album, I just kept the one wrapped in plastic. Just, you know, it could be valuable someday.
Yeah, yeah. I should start doing that, actually. I've bought multiple
bunch of stuff
CDs
in plastic
before. Yeah.
I'm just looking at my shelf right now. I got Mega Man, Shine Sparkers, Heroes vs. Villains, Metroid Arrange, all in plastic.
Nice. I still have a green cover Time and Space seal.
I still have some Project Majestic mix sealed.
Nice.
Silver edition. I had my gold one I opened, but...
Damn, that's pretty awesome.
That takes you far back, huh? Yeah.
That is cool. Yeah, was it the Square Dance? I had Al Sean sign, and he's like, I signed this even though I'm not on it. Something like that. Something goofy. But yeah, there's all the contest info. What do you think, Maze Dude? Are you going to enter?
I feel like I want to now. Actually, it's the Pit Boy that makes me feel like, oh, I got to enter.
Right,
just for
dude?
The chance, just for the chance things. To win that.
There is so much good stuff. It doesn't matter what console you own. As long as you have something current, you're going to get something good.
Yeah.
Gonna happen.
Definitely. Hang on. My cat is meowing like crazy at the window. I gotta let her in.
Nice.
I will be right back.
Yeah. It is bananas with how much shit is in this contest, and we are announcing a winner next week on the show.
Next week?
Are you ready to pick a winner, Chris?
Sure. I don't know if I am. There's going to be so many things to go through.
There are. Let me see right now. We have.
Because I remember the last time when you just like, when we were all still doing it in the same room, and you printed out like fucking 5 pages worth of shit. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. This is the, oh, what do we do?
We have, so far, we have 26 with entries.
And I'm sure most of them have plenty of multiples.
I'm sure there are.
Oh, no.
But again, I haven't read any of these emails, so I don't know.
Oh, we're going to go into it completely blind. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's fair.
Yep. I don't want to have any kind of advantage over seeing any of the entries before other people, so we are going to go in blind. Make sure you have a notepad with you next week so you could write down some of your favorite entries.
Twitch chat.
Indeed.
Twitch chat. I'll just type them in there.
So before we tackle the rest of the reviews, do you want to go over news for the week?
Why don't we finish up the reviews and then we'll just do all the news at the end.
Alrighty. Next game to talk about is called Fru. F-R-U. Developed and published by Through Games. It releases July 13th, so it's out this week for $14.99. This is, believe it or not, a Kinect game.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
It has been getting an insane amount of coverage lately. This game has been in the works for years. Before Microsoft ever said, hey, we're going to kind of drop the whole Kinect thing, it's been in the works, and it
Dude,
shows.
What the fuck? Yo, I'm looking at the trailer right now, and this is amazing. What the Dude, this is blowing my mind right now.
It is.
Why didn't they do this sooner?
It is a puzzle platformer where you have to get from one side of the screen to the other. And if there's no platforms there that you can jump on, because you are still using a controller to move your character, you need to stand in that open area and see if there's a platform, because your body, your silhouette is basically a different dimension in the game.
This is fucking sweet, dude. What? Like, this is fantastic. See? Yeah. And everybody wants to make fun of the fact that, like, we're constantly praising the Kinect, but this looks amazing. This looks great.
The game has been getting absurd reviews lately. I think Destructoid gave it like a 9.5.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, it's not just, hey, this is a good game for Kinect. No, they're like, this is a good game.
Wow, this is fantastic.
It is incredibly unique. It is just incredibly well made. The Kinect detection is fantastic, and it can require some pretty crazy positions to get working. Like, I've had a foot up on the couch because I'm too fat to just hold it up, propped up while leaning over with an arm up, another arm pointed down, just so I could have, like, the right areas of the screen.
Oh my God.
Switched over, because it's not just as easy as stand here, make a platform appear, and jump over. As the game goes on, they throw in some different elements. The one stage, wherever you are, is water.
Oh yeah, I see that. How do you control the person?
With the analog stick. You're still using the controller.
Oh, so you're just holding onto the controller in one hand?
Yes.
That's sweet.
The only controls are move and jump. You can move with either of the analog sticks, and you can jump with the triggers. So you can hold the controller one-handed. Cool. Yeah. Another stage, or another world, they have orbs that you have to be touching to either power up floors or power up platforms that move left and right. Some of them will make walls come out so that to create platforms. And it's all about knowing which ones you have to touch, knowing if they affect the normal world or the alternate world, I guess is the easiest way to put it. It is just incredibly, incredibly well done. And if you own a Kinect, you owe it to yourself to pick the... I think I sent out a tweet that I said, if you own a Kinect and you don't buy Fru, I don't know if we could be friends.
Yeah, right, man? Like, this is a... No word to lie. I never thought that I would actually be in a position to say, wow, I really... This game makes me want to get a Kinect. You know what I mean? Like, there are not too many games that can actually accomplish that, but I feel like it makes you wonder, like, worth it.
If this came out earlier, or if more people were still on board with the Kinect, how many amazing games like this could we have seen, or could we still possibly see?
Hey, it's still possible. Like, who's to say? I mean, who's to say that this doesn't become a franchise? Because this is absolutely, like, absolutely franchisable. In my opinion, like, this is, holy shit, man, this is cool.
I mean, I do have one small gripe with the game.
Okay.
And no, it's not that I'm fat and it's hard to do. Okay. The game is fairly short. There's an achievement in the game to beat it in 40 minutes. So the length of the game It may turn some people off, but keep in mind, you're not going to do that 40 minutes in your try. That's going to be something where you learn all the stages, you figure out what you got to do.
You try and do it as fast, like, it becomes a speed run.
Yeah. Because it's...
Yeah, but technically, I guess that would make it... It makes it more of an active Kinect game, though, because now you're like, all right, I'm going to play this again just so that I can get better times. And you're doing all these complex, like, because let's be honest, some of these movements are not easy.
Not at all.
So, you know, you're just ripping through these really complex movements, like, Yeah, I think it absolutely could be like almost a workout in disguise that like, is just a covered up under an insanely good game. Like,
yeah, if you're coming up this week, I want you to try the game up here. So okay. You can talk about it next week. It is just
yeah. My plan is actually I'm gonna try and come up Thursday. Yeah. I have a show tomorrow. I want to come up on a day where I can actually like get as much accomplished as I can. So I'm gonna try Thursday.
Nice.
But yeah, yeah, I really would like. I mean, like, granted, I have a hernia right now, so I'm probably not going to be moving too well. But I still want to try it. Like,
bitch.
Dude, this sucks, man. I like having to play on top of this. Ugh.
Yeah. Needless to say, if you have a Kinect, Frew is an absolute must buy. This justifies owning a Kinect.
I would borderline say this is a reason to get a Kinect because I'm sure Kinects are pretty cheap now.
And depending on where you go, I guess.
Right.
I mean, like we've already talked about how good the virtual air guitar games are with Kinect. And This is in like a league of its own because it's not just a move to play kind of thing. This mixes Kinect with a hardcore gaming experience. And while it's, I guess it's not like super hardcore, like, oh, it's not a shooter or anything, it's still mixing the controller and the Kinect in a unique and fun way that just feels right.
Yeah. But yeah, this is definitely like, this is what the Kinect was made for.
Yeah.
This is legitimately why the Kinect exists.
Yeah. Yeah, next game is called Pharaonic, or Pharaonic, one of them. It is developed and published by Milkstone Studios. It released July 13th on the Xbox One. It is already out now for the PS4. It is $15.99. This is a 2D hack and slash action adventure game where you are a pharaoh, or you're not a pharaoh, it takes place in Egyptian times, and you are a prisoner, and you are freed by a mystical woman to help overthrow the evil ruler and take back the just and the good and all that other stuff. The big draw here is the actual gameplay. It is a mix of action RPG all on a 2D plane, which is pretty neat. It likes to draw comparisons to Dark Souls because it is not a game where you just button mash.
Yeah, I could see it does look very like the combat's very Dark Souls-y, actually.
It is a very slow paced battle system. You have a heavy attack, a light attack, a dodge, a parry, and a block. And you'll eventually get like a magic backpack that can help you out. But the main draw with this game is that it is fucking hard. Like, it is, I think even in the Xbox description, it mentions that it is a brutally unforgiving game.
It looks gorgeous, actually.
Yeah, it looks really good. The visuals are nice.
Plane, yeah.
I like that it is a 3D game. It just plays on a 2D plane. Like, oh, excuse me. Some of the areas you'll be able to like walk backward into a different plane. And it, you know, when you walk backwards, it turns it so that it is once again on a 2D plane. So it is definitely a 3D world. All the action just takes place on a 2D plane. Like I said, the combat is, you need to be patient and you need to take your time, because if you rush in there just hacking and slashing, you are going to die a lot. And I have died a lot despite being patient. As fun as the combat is, there are times where it just feels like blatantly unfair.
Okay.
Like, it seems like everything is based on stamina, like Dark Souls. Every attack that you do, every dodge that you do, uses up stamina. And depending on the, you know, the weapons that you have equipped, that will affect your stamina. If you have armor on, the heavier armor reduces your stamina. So you need you need to find a good balance between having stamina, or as Rampage Jackson says, stamina. Have you ever watched him stream, by the way?
No.
Him playing UFC is hilarious because he's like, stamina, come on, motherfucker, stamina. And it's never stamina, it's always stamina.
Interesting.
But it sometimes feels like the enemies have more stamina than you could possibly ever hope for. Like, they could seemingly block forever sometimes, or in the time it takes you to like do two, like a light and then a heavy attack, they'll bust out three heavy attacks chained together. And even if you roll and dodge, they'll like turn around mid attack and hit.
Interesting. Like, now this looks cool. Like on the surface, if you just look at the screenshots and stuff, it looks like it's literally just going to be like side scrolling, whatever. But I'm looking at like the first few minutes of the gameplay and stuff. And yeah, like how you said, going into different parts of the map, and it does feel a lot more almost free roamish because of the way that the maps are set up. But obviously all the action's taking place on a 2D plane. It's neat. I like it. Yeah. I think it's really cool.
And they are fairly open maps. There's different branches and paths that you can go down. There's a lot to explore. It just, whether or not you want this game is going to come down to the battle system and how patient you are. As it stands, I'm going to give it a try it just because I know the difficulty can and will turn people off. I think there's going to be a lot of people who look at the visuals and be like, oh, well, this is a fun looking, you know, casual action RPG kind of game. No, it will fuck your shit up. Like, big time, it will wreck you.
Yeah, it definitely look. It has a Dark Souls vibe, like a heavy Dark Souls vibe.
And just like Dark Souls, dying has a hefty penalty where I think when I died, I was like most of the way to a new level, and when I died, I lost like half of that level's experience.
Ooh.
If you get back to where you died, your quote unquote, your memories are there, you can pick it up and get that experience back. But if you die on the way there, not only is that first one gone, but you lose more experience.
Well, I just watched this guy get housed. Like, the physics are fantastic. he got clubbed right in the back of the head, and just, yeah, that was satisfying. That was funny.
The game is enjoyable, but the difficulty can definitely be frustrating. And like I said, some of them, it just felt unfair some of the times I died. Like, some of the bigger enemies, they hit so, like, I shouldn't be hit twice at full health and die.
You gotta not get hit.
Sometimes it's hard.
Well, it's not supposed to be easy.
Oh, I know. I very much know. But yeah, if you can handle the difficulty, I think you'll enjoy the game. Overall, I'm gonna give it a try.
Fair. Yeah, it's definitely not for everybody. Whereas most of the other games that we covered today are for everybody.
Yeah. Next game is called Super Mutant Alien Assault, developed by Cybernate, published by Surprise Attack Games. It is out now, released July 12th for $9.99. This is a 2D shooter, pixel graphics. It is all randomized. The levels, the objectives are random each time you play. You spawn in an area, and depending on what you do, you have to either transport things from one area to another till you move them all, and then you have to fight off the rest of the enemies that are coming at you. You have to stop some like energy barrel things from overcharging, so you just run up to them and hit a button and cools it down. Then others are just survival, where you have to survive all the enemies that come at you. If you take too long on the stages, there's like a pulsing energy station thing. Every now and then it'll emit like a green wave across the stage. It doesn't hurt you, but it powers up your enemies. Oh. No, if you take too long to kill enemies, it just gets harder.
That's interesting.
And the enemies get stronger. There are, you know, depending on the stage, there might be a station with bombs, a station with guns. Every now and then you'll see a station with health that slowly recharges. Guns clearly have limited ammo. The explosives, you usually only get five of them. Once it's out, you know, you have to ration them so that you aren't out of ammo and explosives before the stations recharge.
Okay.
And every time, the station will give you different equipment. So if you get like an AK the first time, the next time you go back, it might give you a shotgun or a sniper rifle.
Cool.
Or a fucking lightsaber.
Cool.
There are dozens of different weapons in the game, and as you play more, you unlock different equipment. And also eventually unlock new equipment that you could start the game with. Like when you start fresh, you can choose one item, whether it be like a sidearm, like a pistol, or there's like an attack donut that you can throw at things.
I saw that. Yeah.
You can get like a dodge move or a double jump, depending on what you've unlocked. You could pick one thing to start the game with. And
can I just say something about these pixel graphics? Because they look great.
They do. The game is gorgeous.
Like, the animations are really cool. Like, the characters are really, really interesting.
It is fast-paced. It is satisfying action, the shooting. It's really satisfying game. It is fairly short overall. Okay. Like, on paper, it is short. There's three stages, then a boss, three stages, then a boss, three stages, then a boss. The end.
Okay. Well, yeah, but it's kind of roguelike-esque, though, right? So yes. It promotes replayability, yes?
Yes. There are multiple difficulties. To unlock the next difficulty, you need to do the entire game without dying.
Okay.
You have to do all 12 stages without dying, which might seem easy, but it is definitely not.
Okay.
I have yet to unlock the second difficulty because I'm a scrub. Sucks at video games. I have beat the game. I've beaten all three of the different bosses. I just haven't done it start to finish. I've gotten like to the third boss and then died on him. Sucks.
The game does have local co-op.
So you can team up, and it also has an endless mode where you can pick forever. Yeah, a bunch of different starting equipment, not just one item, but like you could pick a starting sidearm, a starting ability, a starting boost, and you just go as far as you can. The twist with that is you only have two hearts of health, where in normal difficulty, you have five. Some enemies might only hit you for half a damage.
Interesting. So,
I'm going to assume that the higher difficulties give you less starting health. Like, that wouldn't make sense. The game is ridiculously addictive. There's always that thought of one more run. One more run. Fuck it, one more run.
See, I love games like that.
And just as you unlock more and more stuff, it's fun to just see what fun, crazy weapon you're going to get next or what kind of fun explosive you're going to get next. Yeah, $10. I think it's another buy. It's a really cool game.
Cool.
One final game to talk about.
One more.
This one is called Tumblestone. Developed and published by the Quantum Astrophysicists Guild. Released July 12th on the PS4, the Vita, the Wii U, and on Steam for $24.99. It is going to release on the Xbox One July 16th as part of Games with Gold.
Okay.
So there's kind of two tales to this game, depending on if you're getting it on Xbox or on the other platforms, because that price tag is going to be an issue for some people. First off, the game is a puzzle game. It is a new puzzle game. Like, it's not just another spin on Tetris or another spin on, like, Bust a Move where you're matching bubbles. There are an assortment of different colored blocks coming down from the ceiling, and you have to match three of them. You can move left, right, and you can only pick the ones that are available, like, on the surface, and you have to match three of the same color. And then three of the same color, and then three of the same, and you have to whittle it down until you get rid of all the blocks, which clearly it sounds very easy, but because it's a puzzle game, you have to make sure that you are going in the proper order. If you make a mistake, you got to start over.
Oh, they start you over from the beginning?
Of that stage, yes.
Damn.
Like, the single-player mode, they have a long campaign with, God, I think 8 or 9 different worlds, and each one has, like, nearly 30 stages. So the actual campaign is huge. They also have an arcade mode, which has a puzzle mode where you basically just do, like, a section of puzzle, and then a new one pops up, and then a new one, just endless puzzles. They have an endless mode where the blocks just continually keep coming down. And then there's another mode, I forget the name of it, but depending, after so many moves, the stage drops down, and then it drops down. The big thing is, those arcade modes will not be available out of the gate on the Xbox One.
So they're pretty much just giving you the multiplayer aspect of it for the Games with Gold, and that's it?
For Games with Gold, you're getting the single-player campaign.
Okay.
So you're getting the full campaign, and then you can have, like, minute-long trials of the different arcade modes. The arcade bundle will be sold separately for $4.99, so it's not that big of a price difference. Like, it's not that huge of an addition. And the arcade modes are really fun. I think if you're getting the game free with gold, the extra $5 is totally worth it for the three modes and how much there is to do. The campaign itself is very long, very fun. I like the fact that it is a new puzzle game.
Yeah, it's not really up on them.
Yeah, right? It's not just a twist on something that's there. Like, I can't compare this to any other puzzle games because it's like its own new concept.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, how, it's kind of like this, but you do that. It's its own thing. It's a match three, but it's not really a match three. Like, it's not like Bejeweled where you just move a gem and line three up and they disappear. It's different. It is cool. It is really fun. I think $24.99 might be a bit much for most people for a puzzle game. Xbox One gamers getting the game free and then $5 for the arcade modes is a no-brainer buy it.
Okay.
Steam, they're going to have their own different option. You can either get the full game for $25 or you can get a $9.99 multiplayer starter pack, which is just the multiplayer mode in the game. Local and online. And then from there, you can pay $14.99 to upgrade to the full game. So it's, you can pay $10 to kind of get a feel of the game, play multiplayer, and then see if you want to make the leap into, you know, the full game with the campaign and the arcade mode.
Okay. I mean, it's a little unorthodox, but sure.
It's options for Steam gamers. I think the $25, it's a try it because the game is a blast. It's great to see a new puzzle game. Like, I can't stress how cool it is to just see an actual new puzzle game. Just Tetris.
Right. Yeah, there isn't too many. So
games with gold. This is absolutely one that you should grab on the 16th. I mean, it's going to be free, and then the $5 for the arcade modes. If you're enjoying the campaign, it's worth dropping the $5 for sure. The arcade mode. So yeah, cool. That's why I said it's kind of like a tale of two games, where the $24.99 full package is a try it, and the games with gold. Clearly, it's free, so you should get it no matter what. But the $5 for the arcade modes is an absolute.
Cool.
But yeah, awesome week of games. Awesome, awesome lineup of games.
Why don't we get to the news then?
The news! I feel bad because, like, I've been bumping games from week to week, and I had to bump two to next. Because I haven't had time to play them.
Well, I mean, it's fair. It's not like I think they'll appreciate the fact that you're not just going into them like half cocked and only like playing them for like 20 minutes and being like, yeah, man, I got this.
Yeah,
like,
it's okay. Yeah, I want to be fair to the game. So apologies to the games that we should have covered this week, but I just haven't because I'm only one man.
Yeah,
I don't have my backup anymore.
Yeah, my schedule sucks too much to try and get games in right now. So until the summer's over,
you're gonna have one for next week.
Yeah, what is it?
Tell you after.
Ooh.
So yeah, news for the week: Rock Band DLC this week. Brian Setzer, Rock This Town.
Right.
Fuck yeah! Then Third Eye Blind Jumper, which is the actual original master recording. And not the re-record that was on Rock Band Network.
I play that every week.
This actually brings up an interesting subject with Rock Band, is recently they have been doing more weeks when they don't have the multi-tracks.
Okay. It's literally just single songs?
Well, they have, like, they do whatever technology they have to split up the instruments as best as possible, but you're still going to have weirdness in the, like, you know, if you miss a guitar note, like, half the vocals might drop out, too. A lot of people, like, they never did this before. A lot of people think that because they eased up on this stance is why we're getting so many songs that we... People are like, oh, yeah, we should have had that in Rock Band 2. I think we're getting a lot more songs that we've always wanted because they've eaten up their stance. All must be the pure master files. Stuff like that.
Okay, but is it annoying enough to warrant not wanting to do them?
I don't have a problem with them. I just know some people are like, man, I wish they would at least let us know if it's like not the full master files or something. And someone noticed on the preview video for this week is for Third Eye Blind, they like had the drum solo section where you can hear the drums, like the person hitting the drums over the drums in the song.
Ugh.
So it didn't completely mute out the drums or something to that. It was in a way that you can tell that it wasn't full multi-track files.
Okay. Well, that's kind of weird.
But hey, as long as that means we could get more cool songs, fucking bring it on.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's how I feel about it too.
People are like, well, we already have to deal with only two songs a week and now not getting the full master tracks. This is stupid. I'd rather have two songs a week than no songs a week.
Also true.
Yeah, No Man's Sky, which is coming out in August, the game with 18 quintillion planets, has gone gold. And believe it or not, it's gold. Yeah, it is ready. It is being pressed and manufactured, so the game is ready. And believe it or not, it only takes up 6 gig of data on a PS4 disc.
Let me remind you, have you ever looked at the file size of Minecraft?
No. I'm sure it's really small.
It's insanely small.
Yeah, but for a game that's supposedly endless to only take up 6 gig, I think is pretty... Of course, it's because it's procedurally generated.
I was going to say, it's probably procedurally generated. Is it server-based, or is it just no. like...
I don't...
It can be local.
I believe so, yes. And they said like a big chunk of that 6 gig is audio. So...
Wait, what?
Like that 6 gig of data, a lot of that is audio files for the game.
That's weird.
Yeah. But yeah, massive game, tiny size. So good stuff there. Batman Return to Arkham is now looking like it might not hit until November at the earliest. And it might not even be until next year. And the biggest reason is allegedly performance issues with the frame rate being mentioned specifically.
Really? We're going to do this again? Really? Yeah.
So who knows if Return to Arkham is going to show up or even be good.
Maybe it shouldn't show up. If they're having this many problems all of the time, maybe they should just be like, yo, maybe we should do this from the ground up. Well, obviously, we can't work on, you know, what we did before because it's not stable enough. So why don't they
get Rocksteady to do it themselves instead of handing it out to some Chinese port company.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Just maybe that would be a good idea, but what, you know.
And that's not a slight, like the team handling it is based in China.
Oh no, I know that.
Just for people listening. speaking of frame rate issues, Lichdom Battle Mage has been patched on the Xbox One and the PS4 to fix frame rate issues. Thankfully, the game has been dropped to 900p on both consoles, so it is no longer a 1080p game. Digital Foundry put the game through its paces again after the patch, and they found that the frame rate has been locked at 30 on the Xbox One with only very, very minor drops into the high 20s. So the game is basically fixed on the Xbox One frame rate.
Good.
The PS4 has an unlocked frame rate, which means it can approach 60, but can also dip much lower than the Xbox One. Like they found it going into the low 20s. And because of the drastic difference from like 59 to 21, they actually found it harder to play than the Xbox One version.
Sucks to be them.
Yeah. Load times have been improved, but they're still long as hell. But, you know, when you shave off 90 seconds to a load time, that's an improvement. So they're no longer 3-minute load times. They're like minute and a half. Yeah, well, Digital Foundry recommends trying the game out on Xbox One, but still might be worth holding off. They think if they locked it to 30, it might be... from what I've heard, the brightness issues in the Xbox One hasn't been fixed, but I haven't verified it myself. I'm not positive on that.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope it gets taken care of because I really wanted to play it, but it was so goddamn dark.
Well, you know, fingers crossed it'll get sorted out.
Yeah, I do love the fact that when the game came out and it was having so many issues, I tried returning it to Amazon and they're like, yeah, we'll send you a prepaid envelope to mail it back, and they never did. And now it's like $14 on Amazon.
Huh.
Manic, we are talking about Lichdom Battle Mage, which has been massively improved, but still not completely perfect. It's better than it was. That's definitely good news, at least. It's good to see Maximum Games is working on it.
Yeah, it definitely needed some love, so that's good.
And apparently their other game, Malakine's Gun, got a recent patch as well, but I don't know any of the details. Yes, Lick the Battle Mage. Thank you, Ian. Next bit of news, Rocket League is going to be adding a crate system.
Oh, no. No, don't do it to me. No.
More details will be revealed in August. There will be no gameplay advantages at all. It will be strictly cosmetic, and the whole system can be hidden with an option, so you won't even see it. It will not affect the current item drop system or affect any future updates, and the crates cannot be sold on Steam Marketplace.
But they're probably going to be like the ones in Overwatch, and I already have a problem with Overwatch. I've already spent enough. Don't do it to me, Rocket League. You're going to make me spend money. Don't do it.
That's why you don't just hide it. The option and...
I'm going to have to. It's going to take every fiber of my being to uncheck that box.
Oh, I forgot to mention this, since we talked about the performance issues with Lictum being fixed. Last week when we reviewed Ethan Meteor Hunter and Dex, I mentioned stuttering and frame rate issues and screen tearing that I had between those two games. Said I would give an update after the most recent dashboard update. I saw minor improvements on Dex, but there was still stuttering and screen tearing, and I didn't really see any kind of change on Ethan Meteor Hunter. So it looks like they, I don't know, maybe they need to be patched.
Maybe.
But I said I would provide an update on those two, so there's the update. It didn't really change much. Still fun games.
Ian, you're honestly surprised that I bought loot boxes. Seriously? You're surprised. Come on. I think anybody that's legitimate, I'm still playing Overwatch. Literally the only games that I play anymore, it's Overwatch, Diablo, Hearthstone, and every once in a while I'll pick up something else. But that's pretty much that's my rotation. Like it's those three games mostly.
Not surprised, just disappointed.
Don't you pull that shit on me. What are you, my mother?
Anyway, I have one more tiny bit of news. Looks like Nintendo shares are skyrocketing.
Oh, gee, you think?
Nintendo shares are up over 25% since the release of Pokemon Go. It reportedly has over 7.5 million downloads across iOS and Android. And on iOS alone, it makes 1.6 million daily.
It's surpassed Twitter.
Oh, and all that is for U.S. only. It doesn't account any other reach.
Not to mention the fact that it's still technically not available in the App Store for Android, quote-unquote, for the U.S.
I thought it was now.
You can download the APK, but it's not officially on the Android Store. You could just download the file, run it, and play the game, but you're not supposed to.
I have no idea what my cats are doing, but I'm hearing loud click.
I honestly, Ian, I don't see why you think that Pokemon Go is one of the most horribly designed games ever. It's basically Ingress with Pokemon. Like, that's all it is. It's a much more accessible version of Ingress. At least that's what I believe it to be. So
I don't know why Ian wanted that dog.
Well, now it's up. So there you go.
But yeah, that's all the news I got. We did the news. We did the reviews. I have no idea if Maze Dudes.
I did just come back, actually, but I'm taking off pretty quick.
Yeah, we're about to wrap up anyways. So.
I was curious if there's going to be any music.
I think we're going to play something this guy called Maze Dude.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I figure we're going to play the Diablo song you hooked us up with. We're going to play that, I don't have the name of it on me, that circus one.
Put on a happy face.
Put on a happy face. I think I'll toss Comeback on there. I don't know, we'll toss in a couple more songs. I figure we could do like 5 songs of Maze Dude.
Neat. Well, I may take off during that, but I hope you guys enjoy, and I'm curious to know
we don't actually
think.
Play it during the show. We just edit it
no,
in.
No, we splice them in.
Ah, gotcha. Never mind then.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want, I could play it now.
No, just whenever you splice it, I'm curious what you guys think and what people think. That's all. So
I heard Diablo, and it's fucking awesome.
I'm excited.
It is good stuff, so I am very excited for American Pixels. And Maze Dude, thank you so much for joining us. I wish you all the luck in the world with the Kickstarter, and I hope everything goes well for you, and keep kicking ass, dude.
Yeah, I intend to. Thank you for the support, and thanks for having me tonight, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
And join our contest.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that a lot of thought.
You're going to win a lot of shit.
I see that.
It's a lot of shit.
I'll change it to someone must listen. And there you go.
Oh, God.
Someone must listen.
Just picture a guy in a chair tied up with a radio next to him, like, you must listen to this.
Listen, you son of a bitch.
No choice.
Actually, I'm not going to lie. I kind of like that.
I should edit that out so Maze Dude could send in that as his entry.
I like that.
You better email that in like right now before someone else takes that suggestion. Because we
like,
stream
I'm
that.
Forget that it was from him. Come on, like
you have a proof that it was my idea. So yeah.
So do either of you have anything else to talk about, or are we good to wrap this show up?
I think we're good
to wrap this up.
We're good. Right,
so Maze Dude, why don't you do us the honors? How about you give us some final words to end the episode?
I wasn't really prepared for that.
Nobody ever is. That's the point.
Okay. Remember, you're making memories. Don't do something stupid and then live with that memory for the rest of your life. How's that? We'll be right back.
need my baby back. I love the way she wants me near. I need my baby back. The way she shattered all my fears. I need her in my life. I need to take back what I've done. I want to fix it all. I want to start again. Come back to me. Come back to me. We can start again. You were mine, but you destroyed my trust. When you went to another guy, come back to me.